Welcome. This is the Fresno County LAFCO public hearing. I will wait for Mr. Parra. Dramatic entry. So this is the June 8th, 2022 meeting of LAFCO. Can we have roll call?
Commissioner Brandow.
Here.
Commissioner Maxick.
Here.
Commissioner Parra.
Here.
Commissioner Yep.
Here.
Chair Santoyo.
Here. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to ask Gary to do the flag salute for us. Thank you.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So just as a notice to the public, there are agendas in the back of the room in case you're interested in looking at the agendas as we move forward with this meeting.
Item number three is comments from the public. Any person wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. State your name, address, and please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
So is there anybody in the public that would like to provide any comments at this time? Please come to the... Start with providing us your name and your address.
Okay. My name is Cindy Kudo, 336 North Del Norte, Kermit, California. And I was here asking about two sections that we, my husband and I, own. That the LAFCO, the spirit influence line, cuts off.
Excuse me just for a second. So this is not connected to one of our agenda items?
I think she's relating to item number seven.
That's what I thought. The intent right now is for anything that's not on our agenda for that. So I apologize, but that's the way it is. I'll open it up to the public again. For anything that's not currently on our agenda. Okay, seeing no comments, we'll move forward.
Item number four is potential conflicts of interest. Any commission member who has a potential conflict of interest shall now identify the item and recuse themselves from discussing and voting on the matter pursuant to Government Code Section 84308.
In regard to item number seven, I am the current sitting mayor of Kerman, but there's no potential conflict.
Yes, the law, the LAFCO law actually contemplates that you're able to participate expressly states that. So that is not a conflict of interest in which you would have to recuse yourself.
And just a comment I have. So I'm, since this sphere is going to impact property owners that are around the area, I did not find a detailed list of who owns all those parcels. So I have received contributions from individuals in the past who have development interests in Fresno County. So is there anything I need to do if there's not a...
So it's an interesting question because the sphere itself is a probable location for annexation or potentially detachment. And so it's more of a planning tool as opposed to a real property action. So I think it would be very difficult for a sphere amendment to actually track it precisely. So I don't think that presents a conflict for you. However, if there was a change of organization or a reorganization, I think that would be very problematic.
All right. So I just wanted to put that on the record, and I'm prepared to proceed.
Okay. Anybody else? If not, we'll move to the next item.
Item number five is approved consent agenda item 5A, 5A being the minutes from the LAFCO meeting of May 11th, 2022.
So these are matters of routine in nature and usually approved by a single vote. Are there any members of the commission who would like to remove any item from the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Hold on a second. We got to ask the public.
No, you can, but you still got it on record. That's okay.
Okay, so... Are you seeing none here? I'll turn it to the public. Is there anybody in the public that would like to remove any of the item on the consent agenda? Seeing none, now we're open for a motion.
You already got it.
So you got a motion, and second. Steve gave a second. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Pass. Next item.
Item number six is appointment of new chair pro tem from city or county commission members.
Okay, so we're looking for nomination of the next chair pro tem. And so it looks like Mr. Parra would like to do that.
Yes, if I could make a nomination for Mr. Commissioner Yip.
Okay, do we have okay, is there any other nominations before I go any further than that?
I'll second that nomination.
Okay, so we have a second. Can we go ahead and take action without going to the public on this one? Or?
It's probably a good idea if you do.
Okay, all right. I'll open it up for the public if there's any comments by the public in regard to this particular item. Seeing none, we got a motion and we got a second, so I will take it for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? There is none. Congratulations, Gary.
Thank you for your support, I guess.
we'll
find out next year.
Yeah, that's nice.
Starface, you got a job.
Excellent. So we'll go to the next item.
Item number seven is Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update for the City of Kerman, LAFCO file number MSR22-01, USOI-205.
Okay, who is providing the report? A new member to the staff.
The departing member. Chair, members of the commission, analysis of the public records that's been provided by the city and review of the record provided by other public agencies supports staff's recommendation to approve the municipal service review and adopt the revised sphere of influence. If we can go to the next slide, please. This is a shot of the current LAFCO map. The gray area is the city limit, and the dotted line is the existing sphere of influence. Next slide, please. The proposal would expand the sphere generally east and west. And if you can go to the next slide, please. These are the areas in yellow that are proposed to be included in the sphere. Just to clarify for the public that the sphere of influence does not mean this area is annexing. It simply is LAFCO's plan for the growth of the city pursuant to its general plan and would allow annexations to occur in the future. But those are separate. Those would be brought to this commission as separate items. I would note, too, that that area in green that has has the arrow pointed at it, came in after the municipal service review went public. And if we can go to the next slide, please. The parcels are split. Let's see here. This is a single parcel that's split by the sphere, and this is another parcel that's split by the sphere. And as a matter of fact, that is the configuration of the sphere of influence when it was first adopted in 1974. And in doing research, staff is of the opinion, if we can go back one slide, please. Thank you. There was a county plan for the city of Kerman that showed a proposed expressway approximately 1/2 mile north of Whitesbridge. That's no longer in the plan, and it may have been some way of addressing the flow of traffic on 180 through the city, but it's likely that configuration of the sphere of influence right here is basically a vestige of that earlier conceptual right-of-way. That right-of-way was never purchased. The expressway is off the books at this point, but there is a there isn't a need on the part of the property owners to address the sphere of influence because it is now ripe for development, and that sphere of influence then would complicate the annexation. This is really de minimis in terms of its effect overall. It's a very small acreage relative to the entire sphere of influence that's being proposed and that exists. And by including this area in the sphere of influence, then as this area develops, it can be fully addressed by a tentative map or some other entitlement. So staff is recommending that area, as well as the area shown in yellow, be included in the revised sphere of influence. And I would also note for the record, and maybe as a parting shot, that any reference to Firebaugh in the municipal service review is purely unintentional, and it should be read as Kerman. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Fireball is not Kerman, though, so how do we
Yeah, well, it's one of those gremlins that. From copy and paste.
Okay.
All right, I think we have some questions. Steve?
A couple quick questions. Why was this piece not included when it went out to the public portion? Do we know the answer to that?
It was just below everybody's radar.
Okay.
And it didn't become important until the market forces brought the attention to the property owner who realized that this was a situation that could be rectified.
Okay. And then secondly, according to annexation rules, that piece could not be annexed without that lower piece being brought in, correct?
Correct.
To make a connection.
The green by itself could not be annexed.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify those two things. I'm good.
So what I'm going to ask you to do in a nutshell is make sure that everybody understands what a change in sphere of influence is and what it's not. So that way, because I'm hoping that there is not confusion in terms of what we're actually doing here. So let's give people an understanding of what does change in sphere of influence mean. You said it, but I want you to expand on it just
sure.
a little bit.
So the sphere of influence is LAFCO's plan for the growth of a city or special district. Mm-hmm. And the sphere of influence is based on in the case of a city, it's based on the city's general plan. So this commission takes action on spheres of influence based on the plans that are set forth by in this case, the city of Kerman. And the sphere of influence does not annex territory. As a matter of fact, it doesn't change election precincts. It doesn't change the tax rate. It doesn't have an effect on taxes. And what it is a component that's necessary for future annexations. By law, an annexation to a city has to be consistent with the sphere. So this is why the city, when it updated its general plan in 2020, then approached LAFCO to amend its sphere of influence to accommodate this new vision for the next 20 years. So a sphere of influence is LAFCO's plan for the growth of the city. And at some point in the future, when the developers respond to market forces, they'll make offers on land. That development has to be consistent with whatever the city shows as the land use. And ultimately, that would lead to an application by the city to LAFCO to change those boundaries, to actually change the city limit.
Okay. I think that's helpful, David. So is there Nathan?
A couple of questions. So, again, with this sphere change, with the 2020 general plan that was updated by the city of Kerman, I assume that the general plan took into consideration all of the area that we're contemplating now is in that general plan, including that little green area as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then with talking about including that green area, and this is just a very minor detail, but North Central Fire Protection District that provides services, is there any kind of negotiations or work that needs to be done once spheres are changed with them? I don't know how annexations impact them and developments impact them, but are there any negotiations that have to take place with, like, Fresno Irrigation District, fire protection districts, or anything like that?
Well, I've reached out to those agencies during this municipal service review process and received no comments that are adverse to the change. The actual service delivery analysis or more refined service delivery analysis would take place when an annexation is proposed. And that packet would be routed through those agencies for review and comment and any conditions that were necessary as far as the city's entitlements.
And that green section, how many acres is that roughly?
Our last rough estimation was about 10 acres, give or take.
Yeah, I'd say no more than 10 acres.
All right, thank you.
Any other comments, questions by the commissioners? If not, I'm going to turn it over to the public for your comments. And if your comments can be focused in on the proposed action, which is the sphere of influence, although if you want clarification as to, the annexation, because I'm hoping nobody's here really thinking we're annexing anything. That's a much more rigorous process that's not happening today. Please come up and provide your comments.
Thank you. Cindy Kudo, 336 North Del Norte, Kermit, California. That's my green spot right there, my husband and I. So that's why I was here today, because the sphere of influence leaves us about 8 acres there. That's not within it. So we would like to see that line move to our property line. It just makes everything we're trying to do, and whether we're farming, whatever it is, easier. So that's why I'm here, to see if you would recommend that.
Okay.
You're in support of that adjustment?
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from the public in regard to this issue? We'll start with her. Please state your name, your address at the beginning.
Gloria Torres, 364 South Golden Road, right where this new sphere is supposed to take. I'm a little confused, so I'd like some clarification. What you're telling us is that the sphere of influence that you've developed or that you're going to adopt, mm-hmm, came about because the city might have some plans for the future in that area. So my question is there development in the process? Is it in a 10-year plan, the 20-year plan, or what are we looking at?
Okay. David or Brian, one of you guys want to tackle that one?
We actually have the planning director and city manager in the audience that may be able to address the question.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
What's happening out there?
Oh, the mayor's here.
The thing is, we've asked, and nobody seems to really give us a good, definite answer.
Well, I think they're going to address your question right now. So can we have one of the city representatives come up and address that question?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. John Jansen, city manager of Kerman. I can address that in that our general plan sets forward the vision for a future Kerman, a larger Kerman. And the sphere will help us realize that over time. What's important to know is that there are no proposed annexations at this time. So in response to the lady's question, it really just sets the table for future growth of the city, but it doesn't involve any specific current applications. So based on the map, we could have a proposal come in on any four sides of the city. In the report, it does talk about priority development areas where we are best equipped to accommodate new growth through the provision of water and sewer and infrastructure. And so those would be the most likely areas that would develop first. Specifically, we have interest in development opportunity north of Whitesbridge, but at this time there hasn't been any inquiries or interest expressed in any properties to the east of Goldenrod, and there's been some preliminary discussions about the western portion, but again, they're preliminary. So there's really nothing set in stone, and we'd be pleased to meet with any resident and walk them through our general plan and what is proposed for the future. And again, it's very perspective in terms of what might happen. There's nothing set in stone or that we're that's definitive at this time.
John, a quick question. I assume still before land is annexed into a city, it's got to be pre-zoned in accordance with the general plan. So I'm sure, I don't know if you've spent any time with any of these residences to show them, if they do have land that's affected by this proposed sphere change, what the general plan has designated generally their land. So I'm sure you've got some sections that are designated mixed use, some commercial, and probably a lot of residential, some park area. So has there been any time that the city spent with some of these residents showing them what that general plan looks like and then how zoning is going to kind of overlay that general plan to be in conformance and how development may happen?
Well, we undertook a relatively rigorous process of public engagement, public involvement during the general plan project. That occurred over the course of several years. Some of that work predates my time with the city, but now if our request is approved and we have a new sphere established, that really gives us a jumping off point to reach out to community members to explain what just happened, how that could affect them in the future, what the zoning is proposed in those areas, et cetera, as well as reaching out to the development community to let them know that these properties could be brought into the city into the future because previously they weren't eligible.
Okay. Has that adequately addressed your question? Because I think your question was, are there some specifics? And there really isn't specifics. However, I think what we've heard is that there's clearly opportunity for you and the city to sit down and get more detailed information to the degree it exists, much like what Commissioner Mesnick was mentioning. So thank you for...
And Mr. Chairman, just yes. Finally, in the audience is Jesus Orozco, our community development director. Yep. So he manages our planning department and is most familiar with this project beyond my understanding of it. And either one of us would be pleased at any time to meet with any of the residents that are either in the city or in the county adjacent to the city to help answer their questions and clarify any concerns that they might have. I have business cards with me, so be pleased to give them out today, and we'll certainly spend the time to help educate folks and inform them of what we know at this point.
Very much appreciated. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very
much. There's another comment. What, no, could you please come to the podium, give us your name, your address, and then you can make your comment.
Okay, well, I was going to ask him. Yeah, my name is David Cornelius. I live at 322 South Goldenrod in Kerman, and I'm next to the cemetery that's there. And I think I spoke to you yesterday about the cemetery. It's a non-endowment cemetery. And they don't have any water, and they have dead trees all over the place. So I was wondering if you're going to bring in the sphere of influence, bring it within the sphere of influence, if there's anything that's going to be done about kind of a derelict property. So it's, like I say, they haven't had water for a couple of weeks out there, and the lawn is all dead. And, and there's dead trees there, so. It's kind of a problem for us next door to it.
So what I understand, and I know this is not going to answer it completely, is that before it goes to any next level, at that next level, they do have to clearly identify resources that are needed, such as water, because you can't really expand if you don't have those resources available to do that. So I think your issues probably would be more applicable at the next level. However, as they've mentioned, they're wide open for you to sit down with them and talk to them a little bit about that.
Well, is there a county agency that looks at non-endowment cemeteries?
Do you have a cemetery district that exists? Is there a board that represents that cemetery? So have you approached the cemetery district to talk to them about this yet?
No, not yet.
So the cemetery district is an independent body typically, and so the county, while we work together, and sometimes the board of supervisors will appoint people to the cemetery district, they are independent of of the county typically. So what I would encourage you to do is, this I think is in Supervisor Brian Pacheco's supervisorial district. So maybe reach out to Brian, but also reach out to some of the board members and find out what they're trying to do to get that that well rectified. And to your question about, is it possible to have city services serve the cemetery? I've seen that before. Like in the city of Clovis, we've got a cemetery right in the heart of the city, and it is served by city services. But it needs to be annexed, and you also need to have sewer and water, well, mainly water lines that run by nearby with laterals, so you can tap into those.
Yeah, there are lines because there's a school actually on the other side, the Goldenrod School, and so they ran lines to that, and actually, we were it was made available to us to hook up, but the cemetery didn't. So we do have sewer and water. Which brings me to my next question is to whether other services are going to be brought to those on Goldenrod, like better phone service or gas or anything like that.
So. We can discuss that at a later time. But the main issue that we have here is we're doing the annexation of what could happen in the future.
Yes.
You have an issue that's happening today.
Right.
And so if we can take care of that issues today, mm-hmm. our city manager is right there. We can set up a meeting and we can discuss all that stuff. But getting water today is different than setting up what's going to happen 5, 10, or 20, or 40 years from now. So that's what we're here today to talk about. Is
that's at annexation.
Correct.
Then, yes. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you.
If you'd allow me just to follow up, Mr. Masig, I did have a conversation with Mark Benjamin this morning, with Brian Pacheco's staff, to let them know that they might receive a call at the county from Mr. Cornelius or his wife. They do have some concerns. They're the adjacent property owner to the cemetery. I shared with them the little bit I know about cemeteries and that if the cemetery were to request annexation into the city, then that would allow us to provide them with water and sewer versus them having a well, and I don't know what their status is at the moment, if that well is operable. Or we know that the cemetery is quite full, and they have discussed in the past their interest in expanding eastward, but they weren't able to reach terms with the adjacent property owners, so they're somewhat landlocked. And we also had a very good conversation, opportunity to kick around some ideas regarding their property line and their interest in having a fence and different issues with Mr. Cornelius and his wife. So we're aware of this situation. And should any of those properties on that eastern boundary eventually annex, then we would apply contemporary development standards to those proposals that would include curb, gutter, sidewalk, connection to city water, sewer, et cetera. So we're familiar with this, and I appreciate you responding to his question. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from the public? You'd like to come back up? Okay.
I think we have been talking out here, some of us, and one of the things that is really kind of concerning, I guess you would call it, is the fact that this has already in the process somewhere along the line. The city has already requested this approval. However, no one contacted us to find out if this would be something that we would be okay with, which we understand the city has to grow, things have to happen, development has to happen. But to me and to some of us here, it seems like the meeting with the city to discuss this should have been done prior to this meeting today. But that's, you know, I'm not familiar with procedures at this point. So.
No, I mean, it certainly is a fair question. But maybe we can provide some insight on how this process works in terms of public involvement when the city's coming up with this. Is this a question for the city manager? Is this something that Brian or you, David, can just kind of educate the public in terms of what is the typical process in the city developing a proposal for an increase of sphere of influence? When did the public have opportunity to be engaged?
On the sphere?
Yeah.
Today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. I think there's more to it than that, and if the city manager... Because when you start talking about the general plan,
yes.
you start making these calculations and predictions. So my guess is that there probably was opportunity for the community to get involved and make some commentary. But
that would be kind of my guess, too, and that's what I'm trying to pull out, kind of. So is somebody from the city willing to kind of provide? Because I think what needs to be is some education in terms of when public gets engaged in some of these issues. When is their opportunity?
Well, in any general plan update process, there's certainly a robust public engagement component included in that, where there are town hall meetings, public workshops, notices sent out to affected property owners, et cetera. Again, I can't comment firsthand on much of that process because, unfortunately, this has been an elongated process. It's taken us many years to get our general plan updated, probably longer than is a more streamlined direct process. It probably goes back 5 years. And the an expansion of your sphere is a normal part of that discussion as you go through a general plan amendment. Now, you could update your general plan and not touch your sphere. There are cities who do that. They're landlocked, let's say, or they have other communities bordering them. In our case, there was always, I believe, the discussion that we had room to grow on basically all four sides. And really, the northern, western, and eastern boundaries are the kind of critical ones because the south is mostly industrial. And so that's where you're going to impact existing property owners, or you're going to have actually more desire, more opportunity for development on those three sides. So, just to add to that, this effort to present a sphere of influence application has again been elongated, where we got started on this probably in late 2019, just before I started, and because of COVID and because of change in staff, here we are today in June of 2022. And along the way, we also had to renegotiate and update our memorandum of understanding with the county regarding tax sharing, because that was expiring, and you need to have a current contract in place between the city and the county before you can accept annexation proposals and or begin to discuss where your new sphere is going to be. So there's a number of issues there, and the best we can do at this point is to try to catch up with folks who are interested or have questions. Again, nothing changes for them. They're in the sphere, but their status doesn't change. They're still residents of the county. They still might operate under their own well and septic system. It's only if they chose to annex in would a whole series of process begin that that takes quite a bit of time. In discussing with Mr. Cornelius and his wife, they asked about some of the properties near their home, and I said, well, as a matter of fact, we haven't had any inquiries on those properties. Again, the interest has been north of Whitesbridge, and if there were any developers or property owners interested in developing near their home, we're really looking at a 24-month time frame or 18 months to 36 months as you go through the annexation process, the pre-zoning, general plan amendments, et cetera, so nothing happens overnight. No one's going to get caught by surprise. And so what we can do at this point is just continue to engage with these various families and homeowners to inform them and make sure that they understand that we're available to come in and answer questions and to meet with them and address their concerns.
Thank you. So so I just wanted, because I can fully understand that not all the public has a full understanding of what the planning process is, planning commission, city council, general plan. There's a lot to it that the general public doesn't necessarily, but there are clearly opportunities for engagement with the public and so forth. What you can leave with today is full knowledge that the city is very open to have discussions with you, and certainly you have opportunities prior to an annexation to fully engage in the process. So I think that's really all we can offer you at this point in time. Yes, go ahead.
As far as the history, a lot of you know I was elected in 2010, so I started in 2011. And the first thing, the meeting that I had, we had probably 500 people because it was the Walmart. Okay, and that's why on Goldenrod you have curbs and gutters on one side, but you don't have curbs and gutters on the other side, which is where the cemetery is. So, and within, I'd say, 2 years, Walmart was built. So they bulldozed a lot of issues through that we didn't really have a choice on as a city, and I recuse myself because I have a grocery store in Kerman, as all of you know. Okay, so as the recession was going through and we didn't do a lot of building, a lot of builders weren't going around looking at what our sphere was doing. So when we started thinking about doing that, I was termed out in 2014. So in 2015, the new mayor was Mayor Hill. He started taking over, and they started looking at how we're going to do the sphere of influence, because at that time, building was just starting up. But everybody, since we didn't do a lot of building and the Walmart was coming in, a lot of people that bought at the high was able to sell at what they bought it for because there's no other buildings in town. That's why Kerman, if you're a buyer, there's nothing to buy anymore. So we held back the building, and that helped us out for the people that got stuck at the high price. Now there's not enough buildings to suffice. If we do this area now and we've waited 4 or 5 more years, you might have developers come with business cards because we planned it properly. Okay, so by the 15, we started looking at it. In 19, we have it all set up, right? I believe that there were meetings with the prior mayor, Mayor Armstrong and Mayor Hill, that they actually had public hearings, but a lot of people didn't know about it because everybody was just doing the day-to-day stuff. Okay, we have it set up now that we have it laid out properly, and now we just go in at a relaxed pace and we can say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because you see now, everybody wants to build houses in Kerman. Everybody wants to build, and now if we set up a reasonable plan and a reasonable pace, that's where we're at. Okay, so a lot of this building won't happen for another 2 to 3 more years, but we have it in place so that we say, this is going to be residential, this is going to be commercial, this is going to be the direction that we go. And that's how an organized city takes care of things. And that's where City Manager Jansen started in 2019, and then right in the middle of COVID. So there's always excuses that we have, right? But at the same time, that's just life, right? And we try to do things. And if all of you know where to find me, right? I'm not hiding from anybody. You just come in the grocery store at 5 in the morning till 10 o'clock, and then I'm there. And then if not, I'll be there at 2 o'clock. You take my kids back and forth to school. Everybody knows where I'm at. Okay, so if there's ever any problem, you guys know where to find me. You know where to find a city manager. You know where to find everybody else. But we're trying to do this at a relaxed pace so that everybody wins in the long run. So that's kind of my thing on. So.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the public? Okay, please come and state your name and your address.
My name is Connie Ramirez, and my address is 13846 West Kearney Boulevard. We have less than an acre, and I just want to make sure our little house isn't going to be swallowed up by all these people building, because there is properties on the sides of us that are acreage. They're 10 acres, 15 acres, like that, on the sides of us, and we're just one little house in the middle of all of them. I want to know, when you said it's our choice to annex, it's our choice to do this, is it really our choice, or are we going to be swallowed up?
Well, again, basically, sphere of influence only allows for future development, but it's not going to happen until it goes through the annexation process, and that's the opportunity that you have to come in and be specific as to your concerns so that people... Now, what I would recommend to you is this, is that you would stay in contact with the city very closely as they're developing, or they get offers by developers to want to do things, because the sooner they're hearing from you, the better you have a chance to resolve an issue before it hits us. So,
okay, because like I said, I'm a small property.
Yeah.
I have my own water, my own septic, but I'm right on Kearney. I am the front property. The neighbors on the sides go on the sides of me to get to their property in the back. So I know I'm right in the middle.
Yes.
I've been there 34 years. And I need to know it's not going to be taken out from under me just because we're small.
Your notes are well made. But again, those are specifics that you probably need to deal with the city as they're thinking about development and annexation, so they consider what your issues are. That's not something that we can take action here on. Okay? Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to make comment? Seeing none, I think we're going to take multiple actions on this matter. And so first action is what?
Approval of the municipal service review.
Yeah. So I'm looking for a motion on action one.
For approval of the MSR.
Okay.
So I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we'll move to the second action, and the second action is the SOI motion. Do we have a motion on the SOI?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Did you catch? It's para motion, and Steve made the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it looks like we got a third action, which is the written determinations and recommendations. Do I have a motion for that?
Sure, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, so Gary and Steve, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so looks like all have passed. Let's move to the next item.
Item number 8 is consideration of an update of the Fresno LAFCO policy manual.
And David, are you making that presentation?
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. Today's hearing is to consider the third and final portion of an update of the Commission's policy manual. The Commission considered two other portions in previous public hearings this year. In those cases, as with the present, a track changes version was provided to the Commission and made available to the public to explain recommended changes, and a changes accepted version was also provided to illustrate how the document would flow if those changes were approved. Overall, the Commission's policy manual serves as a refinement of statute as permitted and encouraged by CKH. These policies guide staff's day-to-day analysis of proposals based on the Commission's objectives and vision. Commissioners will recall that staff has advocated for an updated policy to perform several functions: to modernize the text of the policies, to remove issues of concern that are no longer relevant, to streamline policies to make them more accessible to staff and the public, and to bring them into compliance with other statutes that have been changed. This third portion to be considered today is focused on omnibus amendments, rather general in nature, but still important to the Commission. And I would note, if the Commission would bear with me for a minute. Given that this Commission is recommended to take action on the entire policy document, I'd note an exception to the omnibus nature of the Commission's action today, and that is that under the standards for evaluation of proposals in the unincorporated portions of city sphere of influence, there is a specific policy that staff is recommending. The subject of county development approvals in cities' sphere of influence was brought before the Commission several years ago, and the Commission will recall with the City of Sanger's recent annexation, that was also an item development that was approved or in process in the City of Sanger's sphere of influence. The policy that's recommended by staff is intended to authorize staff to comment on such proposals in a manner consistent with the legislature's intent for LAFCO to promote orderly development in city sphere of influence. Now, this is something that staff is generally doing already, but this would be a way of putting the Commission's blessing on those kinds of activities. It's important because so much happens before an application comes to LAFCO. Though your staff is engaged with both the City of Fresno and the County of Fresno relative to projects that are being proposed, we have regular meetings. I came across an email from 2018, and it really highlights the complexity that this Commission could be faced with if LAFCO's staff is not interfaced with the potential conflict that comes to LAFCO. That is, a developer who's trying to get an application through the County Planning Commission and City Council. If LAFCO's staff is directed by the Commission to engage on that issue, by the time a project comes to LAFCO, we will have had the Commission's blessing to work out any problems and to essentially exert some level of influence as consistent with our statute. So I want to make sure that that is a subject this Commission is comfortable with or is fully briefed on before I conclude my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David.
Dave,
I guess.
I'm sorry, did you want to mention the pink sheet?
Oh, yes, thank you. There is a pink sheet here. We got comments from council, and staff would recommend that this revision be the version that the Commission considers and approves. There's just some minor, as I said, omnibus changes in there, but this is the document that staff is recommending that the Commission consider and approve.
And they really are minor modifications, okay. Almost not immaterial, but very minor. Happy to answer any questions here.
So at the end of the day, you've done a review of that and made the changes you feel were necessary for it. So what we have in front of us is something that you're very comfortable with?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I think staff has done an outstanding job on this project, and we are I'm surprised under any other, perhaps LAFCO in California, that our revisions would be more substantial, but I think this has been terrific.
Well, it's David's nature to do it very well.
Keep that in mind.
All right, so I'm going to open it up for any questions or comments by the commissioners. Okay, seeing none, I will open it up to the public for any comments from the public with regard to this subject matter. Not seeing a rush to it, I'm going to bring it back to the commission for action. So is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve item 8 with the alternate E.
Okay. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. 1, 2, 3, yeah. Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Can I go back a point of order on number 7, if you don't mind?
Okay, go ahead.
I know we discussed the green item, but did we include that to include the green? We're in that meeting. We can change that.
Well, true, but certainly it was presented by staff.
I want to make sure.
That was part of the presentation.
So I feel confident that the minutes will reflect that the green part will be included because it, as was presented by staff.
I concur.
Okay.
Can I also make sure. Go back to number 7?
Thank you, Danny.
Huh?
Can I also go back to number 7? You made some changes that had Fireball in there instead of Kerman. Can we actually put that the proper copy in with the minutes next meeting and to say that I don't want people looking back and, you know, 5 years from now saying, oh, it says Fireball here, not knowing the history behind it.
The record will reflect that is the city of Kerman.
Correct? Okay. But just a clean copy with all the addendums change, are the typos?
A clean copy will be posted.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Next item.
Item number 9 is final budget and work plan for fiscal year 2022-23.
Okay. Brian or David?
I tried to get Brian to take this one.
I'm waiting for Brian, man. That's why I keep throwing that out.
Really wanted to make sure he earned every last dollar before he takes off.
And I would note for the record that there is a pink sheet. The first page had some numbers that did not reflect the actual budget. It was an earlier version. But the rest of the document and the attachments were correct. So this is the presented final budget and work plan for the upcoming fiscal year. Closing out fiscal year 2021, office operations and personnel came in below projections, and consulting services came in slightly above. That was largely due to the changeover of the executive officer and the contract with our Sierra HR firm. The 22-23 revenue forecast. Now, I'd like to make a note that the overall budget is less than compared to last year's, but the actual allocation is more, and that is because we just do not have the fund balance available to essentially buy down the allocation. Staff tried something last year and used more of the allocation and to create a lower, more of the fund balance to create a lower allocation, and I think this is the effect that we have. So the revenue that we received last year was, I'd say it was close. We had a budget of $82,000 in revenue, and we came in about $80,000. So it's $2,000 short, but overall we don't have the fund balance available. However, we do propose a budget that still leaves $100,000 in reserve rather than $150,000, and I've made some changes to the legal reserve in consultation with counsel to reduce that from approximately $50,000 to $25,000 and move that $20,000 into our operational reserve. The personnel expense assumes several things, that we have continued funding of the existing analyst position, that the senior analyst that we have a position open for is replaced with an analyst one, that merit-based step increases for the two permanent staff are included in the current budget, that we would continue to fund a part-time student intern, and that we would have the new executive officer compensation, salary, and benefits included, and also quarter-time funding for yours truly, the former executive officer, as requested by the commission. One of the limitations on the office operations that's proposed in this budget is that CalAFCO expenses are reduced, essentially only supporting the attendance of staff and the executive officer at CalAFCO functions. So that's something that I understand Commissioner Parra may have a comment on. Let's see here. So I recall Commissioner Brandow had asked for some options a couple of meetings ago to talk about options the commission has, and certainly the commission has many options in front of it. One of the options would be to not include the executive officer's quarter time next year. I am still available to meet on an informal basis to support a transition of the executive officer, but this would mean a savings of approximately $40,000. And also the additional analyst position could be cut. That's about $70,000 as well. So there's a potential for approximately $110,000 this budget could be reduced by approximately $110,000, and there's a summary on page 4 of the budget. Now, it does calculate a lower budget allocation for the cities and the county. At this point, staff is recommending that the commission adopt this budget as proposed with no modifications, and I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions?
I have the one comment, and you brought it up. I sit on CalAFCO for the state. I represent the cities in our region, and I don't go to the others. I do everything I can on Zoom, but that one is not a Zoom one, and it is pretty much required attendance. I understand what's going on. If we can do some savings, if it comes out that way, just want to put it out there, see if there's any way. When we get closer, if it's available to do that. If not, you know, I'm willing to split it, do whatever I got to do. There are no scholarship-type things, but it's just something putting it there. So.
Sounds reasonable, that particularly since he's on that CalAFCO board. So if we can, address it at the time to see what can be
done. We'll
see
how it is and get an update down the road. Yeah. So yeah. We got a few months.
And there's a contingency that's still in the budget that could handle that expense. That wouldn't result in an increase of it would ultimately result in an increase of expenditures about $1,500, but currently we have a $3,000 contingency that could be used if the commission is acceptable.
Yeah.
One thing I want to point out with this budget, which I, you know, going back to the 2020 or 21-22 budget, when we approved that, fund balance reserves, if I'm reading this properly, that went to make sure that budget would balance. We estimated at the time $230,000 almost in contribution from reserves to make that budget float, and we've reduced that now to $23,000 because of the increases that you're making to the contribution from cities and counties. But still, we're bleeding. We're bleeding reserves. So at some point, we need to have that number at zero, in my opinion, and actually be in a position where we can make sure our reserves stay at healthy levels. And I heard you say that legal, we want to keep $25,000 set aside for that and $100,000 in our reserves. But I think we basically we've cut it down to that. So next year, we won't be able to dip into reserves to make budget like we've done, you know, the last at least two or three years, correct?
If the fees do not come in, if they come in at 60, I think that's a reasonably conservative number. If they come in more, that'd be a good time to build. I did have a practice that I stopped for the 2021 budget of saving some of that fund balance for the new year. And then it dawned on me that was really somewhat of overkill, but considering that last year, Commissioner Magzig, you had encouraged the commission to go to 150 in reserve. So essentially that $50,000 I was playing with is somewhat of a buffer moved over, and it's been expended or proposed to be expended. So There are some, I don't want to call them tricks, there are some budgeting tools, let's say, that are consistent with generally accepted accounting procedures that I think that the Brian, as the new executive officer, would be encouraged to learn. And let me bring this up as well. We have a financial audit that's underway. It's being wrapped up now per the communication from our auditor. And I've spoken with the auditor staff, and they are agreeable to providing on a very limited consulting basis some comments. I don't want to say oversight as if it's ongoing, but to provide some short-term oversight over budget development and integration of our QuickBooks system with the Excel system that I've used for the past 9 years. And I think on the Excel side, it works out enough, and it provides enough clarity for the commission to make decisions on the budget. But I believe with the transition of leadership, it's also time to have our CPAs invest some time with staff to really nail this down. And if there's any slop in my system, then that's something that Brian can address, and I think that'll help this commission going forward. And again, it's not going to cost much, and as I said earlier, we have a contingency that could pick that up. And the executive officer is in a position through our financial and accounting procedures to sign that contract. It's probably not going to be more than $1,500, and we would have that available. So I think moving forward, there's an opportunity for the commission and its staff to tighten up this process and create more certainty over time. The only uncertainty is the fees. And as I've said before to this commission, that with the lack of a tax sharing agreement between the city of Fresno and the county, that has an effect on fees, but we're counting on Kerman and some of the other cities to, some of their activity to come in this next fiscal year and address that.
Any other questions, comments? So I'll just make a statement here, and that is basically I think that you continuing on a quarter basis, I think, is going to be invaluable, particularly to address issues of the level that Nathan has asked, to provide Brian the level of awareness and education as to what tools he has so that he can become that much more effective. Okay, so I'm going to go to the public for any comments regarding this issue. Seeing none, I am going to bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt, let me look at this again, final budget and work plan for fiscal year 2022-23.
And I'll second that, but Brian, I need to hear from you on this one. I'm sure you've worked with David on this. You understand just the different categories. You feel that the way that this is structured, it's sufficient for you to operate as the new XO?
Yeah, I think coming in, there's definitely enough room to work with moving forward. If there's fat to trim, we'll trim it. But likewise, on the side of the coin, if we need to figure out a new source of revenue, we'll be sure to communicate that accordingly.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
So we got a motion, and we got a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passed. Let's see. What do we have next here? Is the executive officer comments, I believe. So you're up to bat, Brian.
All right. Appreciate it. The time has come.
Time has come.
I just want to start by saying thank you, everybody, for coming to celebrate my birthday with me here today. Oh. It gives me a chance to wear my birthday suit without getting escorted out of the room. So really thank you for that. Just a couple of quick notes. We don't have anything on consent calendar at this time, nor do we have any plans for any sort of workshop items. We are anticipating Westside RCD dissolution and to also amend our financial accounting procedures for consistency with the policy manual changes we just read today. The LAFCO financial statements for April are in front of you if you have any questions on that. And also just end off with thanking Dave and staff for the smooth transition so far. I look forward to the upcoming meet and greets that Dave has set up for me, and really just continue to dive in and soak it all up.
Any questions or comments by the commissioners? I would just encourage you to be doing the outreach to all the cities and other entities that we have jurisdiction on to get familiar with them. I think David did a good job in having that association with them. If he can help you develop it, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. All right, so we'll move to the next item, which is the commissioner's comments and or reports. So do we have any comments or reports to be provided? All righty. Then what we're going to do is move to the next item. And the next item is really it's our acknowledgement and recognition of our former executive officer. And so we have made some provisions so as to do that. You know, I've never made it secret that I've always appreciated David's service. I've been here a long time with him. And so I want to thank him for his service and his professionalism and building LAFCO to what it is today, because it is a very professional level. I'm sure, Brian, you're going to maintain it and keep it that way. But right now what we want to do is recognize David for that. And looking in this desk, there was I found a plaque. So we figured, hey, we'll give it to him. So thank you, staff, Brian, for the preparation of the plaque. And so what I think we'd like to do is go ahead and give this to David. And so how best should we do this? Is there a recommended process?
I have an idea. So why don't you give David, come up here, give him the plaque, and then let's all gather around and get a picture with David.
Yeah.
And I want to do one with us standing up here and then us on the floor with him, if that sounds okay. And do you think we should have the staff gathered around with you, too? What do you want? Because this is for you.
Let's gather around.
Gather around. Okay. So we're going to.
You can do this at Fleming's?
Yeah. Look, I didn't put this.
We could do it at Fleming's?
That's a damn good idea. We can always do a second one.
Yeah. Or the elbow ring.
Yeah.
One without staff right. And one with staff.
So, can we take a picture before staff? Let's have a picture of the commission.
You all get in there.
No.
What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we'll pretend we're giving it to him. Kind of pretend, actually, like for sure. So, I'm going to shake your hand. Okay, so we can take one picture this way with everybody here. Got it? Okay, now I'm going to give you the plaque, and then maybe you can stand in the center as Mr. Mezick and Mezick.
I like it. It's got a clock on it. It's functional.
Yeah, it's functional. You're on the clock.
You're welcome.
Let's do that.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
All right. Oh, now we bring in staff.
It's the wrong time. Okay. It's the wrong time. Hey! It's the wrong time. It's 9 o'clock somewhere.
All right.
You write at least twice a day.
All right. We get everybody in the picture?
I think we got everyone.
Nice.
1, 2, 3, 4. All right.
Thank you.
Yay.
Down here, too, or everyone's.
You want to stand there on the floor with you, Dave?
Sure.
All right.
All right. Let's see if we got room.
Down to my level.
Sit on the floor.
This is where the shorts are bad.
It's about so much. It's the budget year.
Freeways that stand still. How to take my wife home. Can you come to the meeting? I was thinking maybe cake, but they didn't allow the mariachi through the door, but once he gets outside.
We have crispy chicken for everyone.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, before you do that, can I respond? Thank you. I appreciate that. I kind of suspected something like this, and I told staff under no circumstances, and they said, you're not our boss anymore.
Oh.
So And I just want to say, Brian and I have been spending a lot of time together, and I think the commission is going to be very pleased with Brian. I think he's got a lot of good ideas. They're not my ideas, and I think that's the best part of leaving, is having somebody come in with some fresh eyes and a fresh perspective. I told him I have a lot of axes to grind, and I plan on burying all those hatchets when I leave, not with anybody here. But it has really been something. It's been an ordeal. It's been an honor. I tell you, this is really a capstone that I've had for the past few years. Is that you texting me to shut up? Okay. Maria. Anyway, so thank you very much for your recognition, and I look forward to continuing on with LAFCO, providing support to Brian, and being of any assistance I can to the community.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
All right, we're down to basically adjournment. Does anybody want to make that motion?
I don't know. Thank you. I had a great time here in the last year and a half. You know, I think you, in a year and a half, you only had one bad joke, right? And that was when you were here. I've missed two meetings, but you said something. I texted you back that wasn't in their sphere of humor, and you kind of like laughed back at me, or whatever. But just the notes and the emails that you sent back made it a very engaging process that I really enjoyed. And of all the committees I've been on in 12 years of City Council, I really enjoyed being on LAFCO. So I want to thank you. I appreciate everything you've accomplished, everything you've done here. And Brian's got some big shoes to fill, but hopefully we can move forward.
And if I could just thank you for all the assistance you gave me on and off. You were more than generous with your time meeting developers, like we went to meet with Cashin and those folks to kind of educate them on what was going on, because it could have got ugly, but it didn't. So thank you for that. And all those other times I called you up and said, hey, can I bring somebody over and you can explain things to them? And you were like, bring them over. So thank you for everything. And thank you for your friendship and the times that we did have where we got to go out to dinner and stuff. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, David, for being always a resource to me as well. Even as a Fresno City Council member, I remember you came one day and made a presentation over there. And I told my staff, I got to get more familiar with what this guy does. And you came in and met with us several times. Very helpful. Thank you.
David learned everything from the city of Clovis, and I was blessed to have an opportunity to work with him there and hear a little bit. I'm on this board, off this board, on and off, so it's good to be back at, second time I think this is, and it is a pleasure. Your knowledge and wit, I appreciate them, so we'll see you around, but pleased that I could work with you both in the city and here at LAFCO.
Thank you all.
Mr. Chair, could I just make one comment? I was just going to say, Mayor Yep, if you only experienced one silly joke in a year and a half, you got to spend more time with them, I think. I've worked for the commission now for, almost, 15 years or something, and I've worked with wonderful executive officers, and you are up there right amongst the best. You're a terrific executive officer, and, missed our therapy sessions and working together, and welcome to Brian. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, and back at you. I think the commission is lucky to have Ken, and I believe the commission will be lucky with the future and Ken's protege or assistant. I'm not sure.
Colleague.
Stunt double. I think the commission should appreciate the relationship I have with each of you is really a reflection that we have with each other. And about this time last year, when I mentioned something to the commission about leaving, and I said, "This is the commission that I'd like to see appoint my replacement," and we've had different chemistries, and I think this is a very collegial and but nobody's taken any I don't know how would you put it you're nobody's fools, and but we get along, and the reflection that each of us have with me, I think you have with each other. This is awesome time, and I'm really happy that Brian's here at this time with this commission to learn each of your perspectives and move forward. Go LAFCO.
All right. With that, a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Here's some plastic. For